Coming up on Broadway Radio, a special series of interviews with the creators of theatrically themed podcasts. In our first interview of the series, we talk with the creators of The Ensemblist.
It's time for the show with Mika and Mo. Broadway from the inside out.
With us today, we have two very special guests, Mika Graf Lanzaroni and Mo Brady from The Ensemblist Podcaster with us. Mika, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. And Mo, you there?
I'm here.
Excellent. Thank you both for getting together and joining me. I'm such a big fan of The Ensemblist and your podcast and all the work that you two do. And
go on.
And did I tell you how pretty you both are?
Oh, stop.
You know, really?
Stop. You don't have to stop with that either. We'll take all the accolades.
I was thinking that, you know, we would do this series on other podcasts in the Broadway space that might be interesting to some of our Broadway Radio listeners. So why don't you two, one or the other, or both of you, explain to me what The Ensemblist is for those uninitiated?
Well, The Ensemblist, we call it the only podcast that shows you Broadway from the inside out. And that means that we sort of lift up the curtain a little bit farther so that our audience can see all of the moving parts that it takes to make a Broadway show. And that usually comes from the super people in the ensemble who make these incredible lives and careers working on Broadway and have amazing stories to tell about them.
So it's sort of like a, I want to say, kind of a gypsy robe ceremony that goes around from production to production, or how do you structure the work?
Each episode takes a different aspect of being a Broadway ensemblist, sometimes on stage, sometimes off stage. We talk to three people who are experts about that. So in each episode, you get kind of a view, a masterclass from professionals who have lived that experience. So sometimes it's an episode on swings where we talk to Broadway swings or dance captains about that work, or sometimes it's about being married to another actor or being an international ensemblist, somebody who was born outside of the U.S. that's worked on Broadway. So each episode is sort of put together around a theme.
So what are your like individual roles? How do you break down and delineate who does what?
Mo does all of the editing. We also have another amazing editor, Chad Campbell, who we just promoted to editor from intern. And he takes all our rough audio and cuts it down into what you hear on the show. And then Mo does all of the heavy lifting with the nitty-gritty of the editing. And I run the website and push out the episodes. I do all of the like really nerdy back end kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And we pretty much, you know, we split most of the other stuff fairly evenly. Yeah.
So if you have like you know, a topic for the show might be, you know, how many Grizzabellas get to ride the tire.
It is.
we would say how many Grizzabella understudies.
Rode the tire.
Exactly.
That would be our...
how many Grizzabella understudies rode the tire in 1 week? Yeah.
Exactly. So now you have the idea. What do you do next?
We have a Google Doc that we keep episode ideas in. And of course, Nika and I will have a conversation. Sometimes it will be a text. Sometimes it will be something in person. But we just write down things that inspire us or things that we've found interesting. Sometimes it's the stuff that we're hearing from friends in our community about. Sometimes it's remembering that thing that excited us when we were 12 years old and looking at original cast albums, you know, when we were kids. But we basically take those ideas and then we start to think about guests who could speak to them. So the episode always comes first. Then we start looking for people who would be really great spokespeople for those different ideas.
So do you start going through your own Rolodexes, or do you start asking friends of friends, or how do you end up with really amazing guests that you've had for 47 or so episodes?
All of the above. We start with the people we know who can speak to those things, you know, and then if we find somebody who we know is going to be perfect, then we'll go through as many channels as we can to try and get a hold of those people. And usually they're very receptive, and, you know, now we're at the point where it's pretty cool because people know who we are and what we do now, so we have to do a lot less convincing.
Are you going out to see them, or are you doing these things by Skype or by phone, or how, you know, you're,
yeah.
I know that you've spoken to a lot of people on the road. How do you get these things taken care of?
Well, I was out of town doing a show, when we first started the podcast. So we did our first 10 episodes completely long distance for everybody. And now we do them, you know, we'll go to people's dressing rooms, or we'll have people, you know, we go wherever we have to go mm-hmm. in order to get the best interview. You know how that is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so tell me about what was the genesis? How did it start? You said you were out on the road. You're just, hey, Mo, let's do a podcast. I'm out on the road and I'm bored, or what happened?
Exactly the opposite.
Yeah.
You know?
I'll say from the beginning that Nika and I, in addition to being lovers of Broadway, are also big fans of public radio. And as podcasting has evolved over the last, I'll say, 10 years, I think we've both been interested in the art form. In addition, we were the kind of kids who would look at the original cast albums and note ensemblist names and see kind of how they would track from show to show. I think that we've always been interested in the names under the title. But the impetus for the podcast really came out of me being in the ensemble of the Addams Family on Broadway and seeing these amazing, talented artists that I was getting to work with every night who were in the ensemble. You know, in addition to working with Nathan Lane and Bebe Neuwirth and Carolee Carmello, there was Reed Kelly and Charlie Sutton, Samantha Sturm, really incredible ensemble performers. And I didn't really see anybody telling their story. So I just kind of took it as a personal challenge to try to see if there was a way to champion them in this other art form that I really like. And so I did kind of a test run during the Addams Family, which I didn't like at all. I thought it was really boring. And so I put the idea on the shelf for a couple of years. And when I came back to it, one of the things I realized that it was that it was going to be much better with a partner. And Nika and I had known each other socially. We had the same agents. We had followed each other on Twitter. And we mm-hmm. noticed that we kind of tweeted the same beautifully nerdy things. And so I just reached out to her and said, hey, do you want to have lunch? And I want to share this idea with you.
And so we had lunch. And then the idea sort of began forming. And by the end of that lunch, Mo reminded me the other day, we had already signed up for an email account and signed up for the Twitter handle and started forming a bunch of episode ideas. And, you know, the thing began to evolve right away, pretty much.
Was the lunch at the Edison Diner?
No, damn it. That's not much. Can we say it was, though?
Yes.
That's way better.
I remember seeing you at the Edison when you first were doing this, yes.
Yes, that's correct.
Yes.
No, it was at Satya, which was the first restaurant at 46th and 8th.
The McHale space.
Yes.
And then it was that, you know, it was kind of a weird fast food Chinese restaurant, and now it's
Via
something
Presto.
Else.
I think it's called Via Presto.
Sure.
So we outlasted the restaurant where the idea was formed. So we'll pat our backs.
How long ago did you guys start? When was
this
meeting?
2 years.
2 years?
Yeah.
And how many shows have you got so far?
47.
47. So are you guys on a bi-weekly schedule, or what do you kind of shoot for?
We're on a bi-weekly schedule unless somebody's out of town or things are a little backed up. But we try to stick pretty much to that every 2 weeks.
Mm.
For a hobby, which it is,
yeah.
we do keep a pretty strict schedule. And sometimes when there's extra additional content, we'll end up coming out more often. But in general, we feel like 2 weeks is
enough
to make people hanker for the next episode.
So Mo, you had mentioned the Addams Family.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us more about yourself. You know, who is Mo Brady, if you had to tell somebody?
Who is Mo Brady? I'm from Seattle. I lived there until I was about 29. I have six brothers and sisters who all live there. And I kind of grew up being fascinated with all aspects of theater. So I went to a liberal arts school where I could be on stage and also backstage. I wrote my thesis in theater marketing. Guerrilla theater tactics, back when we called them guerrilla theater tactics.
Mm-hmm. Street teams.
Yeah, street teams. That's very early 2000s. didn't make it to New York until I met my husband, who lived out here. Now we both live out here. So I moved to the city. I did the Addams Family for a year, all of New Year's Day to New Year's Eve in 2011. And then I did the second season of Smash, and then have been transitioning my artistic interests into being the full-time editor, video editor for Broadway Cares Equity Fight Scenes.
Wow. So, Nika, what about you?
I am from Los Angeles, California, and come from a showbiz family, so it was always sort of in my blood. And decided at a very young age that I was going to move to New York and become a dancer, and so I did that.
You did the Oprah. You envisioned it, you know?
I mean, you know, that's the short story. The long story is much longer,
yes.
But it's a short show.
We'll give you the long story. We can do a serial podcast where we give you the long story.
Tell you about every like horrible audition experience, or the time that I got a ticket with a U-Haul on the West Side Highway the day I moved to New York because I didn't know.
Oh yeah, and, gotten that ticket.
I was so close to getting off the highway without that ticket and got caught right in the. Never mind. Yeah, and have been lucky enough to be eking out a living as a performer for the last 10 years.
And you did Women on the Verge and the Nervous Breakdown?
I did.
And Chicago, right?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
Those were fun shows to do, weren't they?
Yes, they were. They were fun shows to do.
Back on the podcast, tell me about the music that you guys use. You know, the production values on your podcast are really amazing.
Yes.
And I can't imagine how much time you spend in the edit of these things and picking out. And I'm like, oh, wow, this music is exactly right for what is being discussed right now. And so tell us about that process.
I think at the beginning of the podcast experience, we were doing a lot of Googling, you know, how to make a podcast. We kind of basically taught ourselves. I mean, we're storytellers, but to tell stories in this new way was a lot of trial and error. And the music was definitely a part of that. You know, pretty early on, Nika and I decided a couple things about the music. One is that we wanted to pay for it. Nika, I think you could talk a little bit more about that.
Oh, that it's very important. I grew up in a showbiz family, and I have my father's a composer by trade and an ASCAP composer, and it's, you know, it was very important to me to make sure that we were licensing things legally and paying for the music that we wanted to use, because I didn't want to use like royalty free music that didn't suit what mm-hmm. we were doing. So the very first like big expenditure we ever made on the podcast was on an ASCAP license, like before we had a podcast host almost. And we also decided that we didn't want to use show tunes as our background music to keep the listenership as broad as possible.
Yeah, I think that for loving theater as much as we do, we're neither of us are really show tune listeners. So it was more about showcasing the music that we're excited about. And I do love when we can sort of kind of hint at a theme with the song, you know, using Greek Tragedy by the Wombats when we do our Dressed as a Girl episode, because we're talking about the concept of being in drag, going back to the Greeks. I mean, these are the kind of things that we think about when we're selecting music, but
nerds. We're nerds.
Yeah, exactly. The listeners probably are not. But
if you listen to the credits, you are.
Yes. Yes. We always try to shout out the music. So not only are we doing everything on the up and up, but if somebody finds a song that they like, we can direct them to it as well.
But my goodness, just the amount of time to find the right music, that's got to be, you know, how long does it take the production of one of the shows? I mean, each one of your shows, 45 minutes to an hour, is that accurate?
30. They started out as like 15 minutes, and now mm-hmm. they've grown.
Yeah. We've gotten better at asking the right questions so people have longer answers. We usually spend about an hour with every guest. But even before that, we've come up with the idea for the guest. We've come up with the idea for the episode, thought about who we want to work with, reached out to them, done a little bit of interview prep. But the actual interview is usually about 45 minutes. And that's when we hand it off to Chad, the editor. He takes those 45-minute interviews and cuts them down to about 8 or 10 minutes per guest. So he's probably working about an hour and a half per guest, which we're really grateful for. So that when the audio comes back to us, we've got about, like I said, 8 to 10 minutes per guest. And then it's just about listening and seeing where the connections mm-hmm. are. And then it's really only a couple more hours in the editing bay where we're moving things around and, you know, playing with levels. It certainly wasn't 2 hours when we started, but we've sort of gotten a routine down where things move a little quicker, which is great. We're able to spend more time on
the fun stuff
and less time adjusting audio tracks.
What kind of goals do you guys have for the podcast? Is it, you know, more of what you're doing right now and sharpening it and making it better? Or are you planning on branching out into other areas?
World domination.
World domination. Building Absolutely. An empire. That's all.
Empire building. The podcast will always be our bread and butter. I think we would certainly love to do more episodes. We're in the process right now of branching out into other ways to tell oral stories other than the format that we're currently using, which is fun. So look out for more content on more platforms, podcast
more
listeners.
More content, more platforms.
But also, I think what's kind of magical about The Ensemblist is that it really is a niche way to talk about our industry. And so we've been able to have a conversation in a variety of different ways about what it means to be an ensemblist, about the incredible work that ensemblists do. So that last year we did our first ensemblist awards where we picked 6 Broadway performers who had been on the podcast, but we really thought were doing incredible work. And so we got to champion them, which was really great. We're talking about, I think we're going to do a social media favorite ensemble award this year. Is that right, Nika?
It's still in the logistics phase.
Yeah, but I think we're going to try to sort of match up with the Tonys and do the award season, I should say. You know, complement the ensemble award that the Obies do with an ensemble award for Broadway. Because
the Tonys don't have a best ensemble award, and we think that's crazy.
It's nuts. So the fact that we can continue to shout out, champion ensemblists, and help them be part of the conversation, I think is exciting and is what has led to the growth of the podcast beyond just what it started out as.
Well, you know, life happens, and as much as we all like to plan, you know, every now and then we have massive disasters. Have you guys had any massive disasters that in retrospect is funny, but at the time was like, oh my goodness?
When we were doing interviews on Skype, I had a bad internet connection one day, and And our interview with Sarah Strimmel just didn't work. And Nika had to go back and re-interview her. And I felt so bad. These incredible performers are donating their time to us.
And I think they were like in 10 out of 12s for
Big
Fish.
It was the
like it was
time
to like meet another hour of somebody's life.
And she was so, I mean, I wasn't there. Nika, you just asked her all the same questions, right?
Yeah. I just went back down the list and was like, so what else did Moat? Because I couldn't be there for the first interview. I was in rehearsal. And I was like, I don't know. These are the questions on the list. Did Mo ask you anything else that you think you answered brilliantly that I'm not asking you?
It was the worst. I felt terrible.
It was so
cool. That's kind of the worst. But, you know, both the video editing that I do from Monday and for the podcast, once you have the audio in the can, then you can always go back, which I love. Editing to me is much less stressful than recording. Because if you get someone to say something brilliant, but you didn't get it... if the audio quality wasn't good or the tape stopped, then you're kind of back to square one.
Sure. Absolutely.
That was kind of the worst, wouldn't you say, Nika?
I think otherwise we're, I don't know, we're kind of such control freaks that...
I mean, sometimes we're better at asking questions than others. Sometimes some interviews have gone very smoothly and are exactly how we envision them. And sometimes we have episode topics that we're like, oh, that's
maybe not the thing we thought it was.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Or maybe we should have asked those questions in a different way. Let's create a half hour out of this audio where we didn't get what we really thought we were going to get. Sometimes that's a beautiful surprise. Sometimes it's more challenging.
Yeah.
So let me ask, totally out of left field, are either one of you big fans of the Gilmore Girls?
Oh my God, me, I've seen every episode like 9 million times.
I have not. What is this? What's next? I want to know what the next question is.
Tell me about your opening music. Every time I hear your opening music, I think of the Gilmore Girls.
Wait, that's like the legit biggest compliment. I went to college with Nick Searle of the Skibbies, and... Uh-huh. When we...
Did he wear clothes at the time?
He actually did. They were doing like a playbill.com following them around for the week kind of thing. And so they recorded, or they took pictures of themselves recording our theme song. No, they were not wearing clothes at the time. But yeah, we approached them and just said, hey, here's our plan. Like, here's our idea for the show. We would love it if you guys would write the theme song. Here are our influences for both the show and musically. And they were, they wrote back immediately and were on board and came back, like, turned it around in like a week or something crazy.
Yeah. It was really fast.
It was so fast. They're the best.
We basically just said, yeah, these are the kind of songs that we like. Here's some words to describe the podcast, because we didn't have any episodes at that point. And so that phrase, Broadway from the inside out, became part of the song. I think we only kind of did one pass. There was like a, you know, like
there was
the
one little lyric tinkering. But that's it.
And I think they had put the Tinker Toys, the Fisher Price xylophone in the orchestrations, and we turned that down. I think that was the only... the only thing.
Right.
And it used to be, what is it, jazz squares and all that jazz. That was the original lyric for Upstage, Downstage, It's All the Rage.
Maybe somebody's got that at the live version.
Yes.
You guys ever want to do a live show?
Well, we have and we are.
we have and we are. That's true. We did one at Birdland last June. And released it as a two-part episode, or two different episodes, two parts. And we're doing one coming up in September in collaboration with the Bowery Boys, which is an amazing New York City history podcast. And we're hoping to turn it into a concert series where we go through all of the Broadway theaters one by one, and the Bowery Boys provide the New York City historical context of those theaters. and what it meant for the history of New York City when they were built and as they evolved. And we bring in the Broadway mega talents who have worked in those theaters over the years to give the showbiz flair to that history. So we're really excited about that.
That's like the Jennifer Ashley Tepper podcast.
It is.
And we're doing that at 54 Below because I was like, I'm going to just pander to, you're going to like this idea.
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever thought about this before, Jen, but perhaps, you know.
Turns out she had and she loved it. So we're doing that on September 13th at 54 Below.
Yeah.
And the first show will be about Broadway's St. James Theater. So from Pal Joey and Oklahoma all the way up to Bring It On and Something Rotten.
Have you talked to Jordan?
We are always
talking to Jordan.
part of the reason that we wanted to do the St. James as well is because Jordan's such a great champion of the community, and we kind of thought he would get a kick out of this opportunity to champion one of his theaters.
For our listeners, that's Jordan Roth, the president of Jujamson. Jordan, you know, we hang out with him.
Yeah, it all sounds very first name basis, inside baseball. When you
Exactly. So, listeners of Broadway Radio, I encourage you to get over to theensemblist.com and check it out and listen to a few episodes. Add it to your subscription and your rotation because we love Mo Brady and Nika Graf Lanzaroni. And we want to turn you on to stuff that is really cool. So how can they get you on iTunes and a bunch of other ways? Why don't you tell them?
Pretty much wherever you get your podcasts. iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn. Those are the three big ones.
You can go to Podbean, which is our hosting site. Or you can also listen on our website, theensemblist.com.
We have a little
player.
We have a little player on the left-hand side of our website.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for taking so much time out of your day to come visit with us and tell us about it. And maybe we'll hook up with you. Remind me in September before your thing so we can get you back on. We'll remind the listeners to buy tickets to your show.
That would be fantastic.
That would be really great. Yeah. And people should connect with us on social media. We're overly active on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Tumblr,
etc.
We're on all the channels, always talking about.
So if we went to theensemblist.com, we could find all these social media things.
Yes. And if you search for us on iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, we're there. We're in all the places.
Great. Well, thank you, Mo and Nika. I appreciate you joining us.
Yeah,
thanks
thank
for
you.
Having us.
Happy to be here.
Upstage, downstage, it's all the rage. You can't resist the ensemble.